Hello everybody. This is the translation of Guy Delabre's message for Sunday the 19th of March. Justice is practiced. It's not fair. How many times have we heard this phrase from the mouths of children? It's not fair. It is also the silent cry that comes from the hearts of those who face poverty. Material poverty. Why can't I afford to support myself? Relational poverty. Why am I alone and abandoned? Existential poverty. Why am I so bad in myself? Spiritual poverty. Why am I without hope? Yes, as the Anglican theologian N.T. Wright says, there is a cry for justice that goes out from our hearts. Just as in the book of Ecclesiastes we find this sentence in chapter 3, verse 11. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. A cry when you no longer have any other solution to seek justice, and even then, sometimes nothing comes. It's a stifled cry. A cry for ourselves, but also for those around us who suffer injustice. It is all the stronger when our understanding of the kingdom of God is strong, when our sensitivity to the suffering of the others is pushed to its extreme because of the vision of the reign of the justice of God which has been revealed to us by God in Jesus Christ. The gap between this fallen world and our longing for a restored creation, ruled by the God of love, is a contrast that can be painful, a source of tension and suffering. It's not fair. But what justice are we talking about? Is it criminal justice, that of judges and lawyers, based on law? Is it social justice, this quest for equality and rights that divides the world between victims and perpetrators? Is it popular justice, the kind that fuels revolts and overthrows abusive powers? Is it moral justice, underlined in our national motto, liberty, equality, fraternity? In fact, each of these definitions can be used by the Christian practicing justice, but none says what divine justice is. On this subject, the Bible instructs us precisely. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 to 25, we are told, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. The practice of justice, according to God, is therefore to fulfill his commandments. Commandments summarized by Jesus in two great commandments, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. The practice of justice is therefore a divine programme, and rather than being based on ideas of men, let us hear what comes from the Word and the thought of God. Doing justice is a beautiful program. God put in place a creational mandate found in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, and 31, 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." God establishes a framework of common responsibility for mankind. It in fact poses the requirement of an organization of society where everyone can live and find their place, contribute to the management of the land entrusted to us. But practicing justice is a demanding program. Indeed, today we are quickly confronted with the reality of this world where predation, theft, abuse, flouted rights, cheating, duplicity are unfortunately too often the rules of the game. We may feel that our goodwill weighs little in the face of the dramatic consequences of the actions of violent and unjust men. Practicing justice is therefore a demanding program that quickly confronts us with failure, difficulty, and the insurmountable. Faced with this situation, we may be tempted to accuse the others, us, the just, against all the others, the unjust, or be tempted to revise our objectives downwards, like this doctor of the law who asks who his neighbour is to narrow the list and thus justify himself. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Or stop thinking about it and finally live like a fool. What is the solution in this tangle of humanly insoluble questions and problems? Doing righteousness is a Jesus-centered program. Faced with the exhaustion or resignation that can win over all those who embark on the path of the practice of justice, God has an answer, the work of his Son. To accept what Jesus Christ offers us, we must accept that we are no more righteous than anyone else. Ecclesiastes reminds us in chapter 7, verse 20, "Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins." Christ, the perfectly righteous one, was condemned in our place, unjustly. He thus became the one who allowed God to accomplish his perfect justice. Jesus is our righteousness. It is he who gives us the ability to walk in the paths of righteousness because of his name. Psalm 23, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. This point is fundamental. Forgetting to anchor our practice of justice in recognition of Christ by replacing it, for example, with the satisfaction of the results achieved, is the certainty of following a path where exhaustion, frustration, and bitterness will hold a greater place. Too many people involved with the poorest, on a voluntary or professional basis, in the social as well as the humanitarian sector, actually walked at the beginning by faith, in recognition of the work of Christ. But over the years, the load, the responsibilities, the activities have taken over. We often believe that it was only the first fire that went out when it was also the order of our priorities that was reversed. Nothing renews our strength so much as standing in gratitude to Christ and dependence on the Holy Spirit. This leads us to understand that doing justice is a program of which we are the primary beneficiaries. Whenever we look to Christ, let us remember that before practicing justice, we are first the beneficiaries of that which Christ has practiced towards us. Like Peter, I can say, I have neither silver nor gold. Like Paul, I can recognize my weaknesses. But like them, I can affirm that the grace of God is enough for me. What I have, I give it to you. The way Jesus lived, spoke, and interacted with those he encountered is fundamental to understanding to what practice of justice we are called. It is by listening to him, the living word of God, that we will be able to share, accept limits, renounce injustice, find our place in God's plans for his glory and for the good of our neighbour. The practice of justice leads us to carry out a program of love. Jesus calls us to love as the prophets loved the people of Israel. Denounce injustice. Call for repentance, above all personal. Implore God's mercy. Urge everyone to follow his commandments. Yes, we are called, following Christ, animated by the Holy Spirit, to practice a prophetic love. A love which speaks the truth with grace. A love which unmasks sin and which offers an encounter with Christ. Some examples. It was this love that animated Desmond Tutu, Anglican Archbishop in South Africa, when he initiated, in a country divided by apartheid, the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions. It is this love that drives Denis Mukwege, Nobel Peace Prize winner, when he tries to put an end to the sexual violence that affects Congolese women. The Cape Town Commitment. In 2010, 198 countries, more than 4,000 evangelicals gathered, was able to formulate this famous divine program in these terms. Love speaks the truth with grace. No one loved God's people more than the prophets and Jesus. None other than they confronted him more honestly with the truth of his failures, his idolatry, and his rebellion against the Lord who had entered into a covenant with him. By doing so, they called God's people to repentance that they might be forgiven and restored to serve God's mission. The same voice of prophetic love must be heard today for the same reason. In the face of injustice, we certainly need prophets who denounce, but first of all, we need prophets who love. If the church is to raise a prophetic voice in the face of poverty and injustice today, it must be a voice of prophetic love. The practice of justice, then, is an individual program and collective. In a fallen world, the practice of justice requires us to dissociate ourselves from the perverse generations and their works. This appears from Peter's first sermon. This stepping aside, which often goes with repentance, is first and foremost an individual act. But in the church, it can become a collective practice of justice, a common action, as we see in the Acts and the epistles, with the structured appearance of deacons and then of benevolence. The practice of justice will then be the testimony of our hope. The practice of justice, as we have seen, is anchored and renewed in the recognition of the work accomplished on the cross by Christ, our justice. Our practice of justice reveals the kingdom of God, hidden today, realized tomorrow in its fullness. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. To practice justice is to live the realities of the kingdom of God now. The church becomes the community of the kingdom of God from the present time. The church is the expression of the kingdom of God in this fallen world. Let us therefore practice justice towards the poorest, anchored in gratitude to Christ and in the joy of those who know they are justified by the grace of God. Amen.